Welcome in. Today we're going for that old-school jungle and drum and bass feeling where the track is big, loud enough, and exciting but it doesn't sound smashed. The key idea is mix bus restraint. We'll use Ableton Live 12 stock devices only, and we'll build a simple master chain that behaves like old hardware. It sounds best when you don't slam it. This is an intermediate lesson, so I'm going to assume you already know how to route groups, set basic levels, and build a quick loop. What we're really training is decision-making, what belongs on the master, what absolutely does not, and how to keep transient life intact. By the end, you'll have a clean mix architecture, a restrained mix bus chain, and a workflow where your master processing is a vibe verifier, not a problem solver. All right, let's set the stage. First, session setup so the master stays calm. Pick a sample rate. 48k is totally fine. 44.1 is also fine if you like that more classic workflow. The bigger deal is consistency and not fighting warp artifacts. If you're importing breaks, do yourself a favor and stop live from being helpful. In preferences under record, warp, and launch, consider turning auto warp long samples off. Especially for breakbeats, you want control over what gets warped and how. Now set up your mix architecture. Create groups. Drums, bass, music, and effects. If you've got vocals, add a vocals group too. Even if your project is simple, the groups are going to give you one knob control later, which is a huge part of staying restrained on the master. Now the big target. Before any master processing, aim for your master peak in the loudest section to land around -10 to -6 dBFS. Not lofts, just peak headroom. If you're already peaking at -2, your master chain is going to fight you. You'll be compressing and limiting just to survive, and that's exactly how the old-school vibe gets deleted. Teacher tip, build and loop your loudest 8 to 16 bars early. Basically, mix into the drop. If you mix a quiet intro first, you'll end up with levels that explode later and your master chain will punish you. Now, a quick from-scratch foundation using stock content, just to have something realistic to mix into. For drums, start with a break layer. Grab a break-style loop from your stock packs. Put it on an audio track called Break. Set warp mode to beats, preserve to transients, and set the envelope somewhere around 20 to 40%. That usually keeps the groove tight without shredding the texture. On that break track, add drum bus. Start with drive around 2 to 6, crunch 0 to 10%, and turn boom off. We want the bass to own the sub. Then push transients plus 5 to plus 15 if the break needs more bite. This is a great old-school friendly move, because you're shaping punch on the source, not flattening the whole mix later. Now add clean kick and snare support, but keep it humble. Use a drum rack with a tight kick and snare one shot. Think support, not replacement. A useful mental split is, the break provides about 70% of the drum character, and the one-shots provide about 30% of translation on small speakers. If you flip that, you're drifting into modern drum design and away from that break-led identity. For bass, create two tracks, sub and res or mid. On sub, use operator with a sine wave. Keep it clean for now. On the res track, use wave-eatable or operator with a simple detuned wave. The big rule here is, low cut the mid bass so it doesn't fight the sub. We're going for rolling weight, not constant low frequency pressure. Group sub and res into the bass group. Now we're ready for the secret weapon. Pre-master gain control. At the end of each group, put a utility. One utility at the end of drums, one at the end of bass, one at the end of music, one at the end of effects. This is going to feel boring until you realize it's how you stay fast and consistent. Instead of random fader chaos, you have stable group output trims. Set the drums utility, so the drums group peaks around -8 to -6 dBFS during the drop. Set the bass utility, so the bass peaks around -10 to -7. And don't panic if bass meters look big. Low frequencies carry a lot of energy. The goal is not a pretty meter, it's a master that isn't gasping for air. For music and FX, keep them lower. Leave the front of the mix to drums and bass. Old-school tracks often feel energetic because the core groove is clear and forward, not because everything is equally loud. Cool. Now we build the restrained master chain. On the master channel, we'll go in this order. Utility, EQ8, glue compressor, optional saturator, and a limiter. First, utility at the top of the chain. Leave it at 0 dB for now. This is your hit the chain harder or softer knob later, without changing your internal mix balance. That's a huge deal when you're comparing settings, because you don't want to accidentally remix the track just because you're adjusting the master input. Next, EQ8 for tiny corrections only. Tiny, we're not mastering, we're steering. Start with a high pass filter, 20 to 30 Hz, 24 dB per octave. You're not trying to thin the track. You're just removing useless sub-rumble that eats headroom and makes the limiter wobble. Optional move. If the sub is excessive, try a gentle low shelf down half a dB to 1.5 dB around a heat to 120. If you need more than that, don't keep digging on the master. Go fix the bass group or the sub patch, or even the bass notes. Optional move. If the snare and hats are poking, do a small bell cut, maybe half a dB to 2 dB, somewhere in the 3 to 6K region. Again, small. Your master EQ is not a band-aid for a harsh break. Optional move. If the whole mix is a bit dark, a gentle high shelf up half to 1 dB around 10 to 12K can help. But be careful. Old school top end is often busy, but not glassy. Rule of thumb. If you find yourself doing 3 to 5 dB changes on the master, stop. That's your sign to go upstream. Next up, glue compressor. This is where a lot of people accidentally modernize their track. The mission is gentle glue, not pump. Set attack to 10 milliseconds so the drum transients get through. Set release to auto, ratio 2 to 1. Turn makeup off. We'll level match manually. Now lower the threshold until you see 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on the drop. Not the intro, not the breakdown. The drop. Turn soft clip on. Soft clip is extremely useful here, because it can shave tiny peaks and reduce how hard the limiter has to work. But the warning is, don't rely on it to do heavy lifting. If your glue is doing 4 to 6 dB of reduction, your break is going to lose snap, and the groove will start feeling smaller even if it measures louder. If you hear the snare getting swallowed, do two things. First, back off the threshold. Second, consider slowing the attack a little more. The whole point is to keep that peaky, lively drum shape that older records had. Now, optional saturator for tapish cohesion. Optional means optional. If the mix already feels vibey, skip it. If you do use it, choose soft sign or analog clip. Start with 1 to 3 dB of drive, and then level match the output so the volume doesn't trick you. That's crucial. If it sounds better only because it's louder, you'll push it too far and end up with fizzy hats and a smaller snare. If the hats get crispy in a bad way, back off the drive, or move saturation to the drums group instead. Old school character often lives on groups and sources, not on a cooked master. Finally, limiter. This is for demo loudness and safety, not for mastering the track into a brick. Set the ceiling to minus 1 dB. Look ahead 1 millisecond. Release auto. Then add gain until you see 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on the loudest hits. If you're seeing 5, 6, 8 dB reduction, that's not more energy. That's your mix asking for better balancing, arrangement holes, and low-end cleanup. Now, a super important coach move, and be your master chain by matching loudness. Here's how. Put a utility after the limiter as the last device on the master. When you toggle the chain on and off, adjust that last utility so the level feels the same either way. This prevents the classic trap, where processed wins just because it's louder. Another coach note. Watch Crest Factor once, then mix with your ears. Old jungle tends to look peaky. You'll see transient spikes on drums. If your waveform starts looking like a solid rectangle before the limiter, something upstream is too compressed or too saturated. The vibe we want is punchy and rolling, not flattened. Now let's talk about one of the most underrated restraint tools, keeping the low end in single ownership. Decide who owns the 45 to 90 Hz authority. Usually it's the sub, plus a bit of the break's low punch. Then actively remove competing low end from everything else. That means high pass music stabs, respotty, long effects, and even reverbs. Especially reverbs. Low end reverb is one of the fastest ways to make your master compressor and limiter start heaving. Quick advanced move that still stays old school friendly. Mid-side low control without widening tricks. Open EQ 8 on the master and switch it to M/S mode. On the side channel, add a gentle high pass around 120 to 180. 12 dB per octave is plenty. What this does is tighten stereo low end so your limiter doesn't wobble when the break gets wide. It often makes the whole mix feel more stable and louder, without pushing any meters harder. Now, referencing, but the correct way. Pick one or two references that are break heavy and not super modern brickwalled. Drop the reference on an audio track, put a utility on it, and turn it down until it feels similar loudness to your mix. Don't chase luffs in this lesson. We're comparing behavior, kick and snare relationship, bass weight versus break brightness, and how much room or ambience sits around the snare. Old school often has slightly less sub than you think, more mid-thwack around the 180 to 250 zone, and a busy high end that's energetic, but not painful. Now, arrangement choices that keep the master restrained. Try a simple 16-bar drop structure. Bars 1 to 4, break plus sub only. Let the groove breathe. Bars 5 to 8, Bring in the Reese mid and hats. Bars 9 to 12. Add a stab or pad call and response. Bars 13 to 16. Add fills and small effects, but not extra low-end layers. Classic jungle trick. Instead of adding more stuff for energy, add variation. Break edits. Tiny reverse cymbals. Ghost notes. Short dub delay throws on sends. That gives perceived movement without stacking constant audio that forces your master chain to work harder. And while we're here, use return tracks like an old desk. Make return an echo for dub delay, maybe eighth or quarter note. Low pass it to 3 to 6k. Subtle feedback. Make return be a short room reverb. Decay around 0.6 to 1.2 seconds. And low cut 200 to 400 Hz. Then add EQ after the reverb and also low pass at around 6 to 9k. Band limited spaces very, very 90s, and it keeps the master top from turning into wide, shiny modern air. Now a few common mistakes to avoid. Mistake 1. Mixing into a limiter too early. If you crank limiter gain while you're still balancing, you'll end up making decisions that only work because the limiter is clamping everything. Keep limiter gain low until the balance feels right. Use it mainly to catch peaks. Mistake 2. Overgluing the master. 4 to 6 dB of gain reduction on glue usually equals lost drum snap. Fix it by backing off threshold, slowing attack, or compressing the drums group lightly instead. Mistake 3. Over-re-king the master. If you're doing big moves, go find the culprit in drums, bass, or music. The master is not where you perform surgery. Mistake 4. Too much sub below 35 Hz. This audio version is shortened for playback.